some, get some, bad enough, take some.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode. Wow, that came in strong. 66 of Fang and Evangel with Gangrel. And again, we have Anna Diaz in here today. Well, we were doing some other stuff for epilepsy because it's Epilepsy Awareness Month. We were doing some other tapings and stuff. So you stayed on to join in on episode 66, and I appreciate it. So
of course.
And we see you're healing up very good from the seizure you had. Your face, you still got. Mm-hmm. I imagine you still got a slight fracture, but your nose is looking straighter. Your stitches are all out, and well, you're coming along. How you feeling?
Feeling a lot better, that's for sure. Thank you for asking.
You're looking a lot better. I can tell you that. But I guess I have some late breaking news, and like I heard about it privately, I guess a month ago or something. But I guess it's out there now, and I'll read it here. How headlines in our sports breaks it down. This is one of many news sites covering this up. Gay pro wrestler Jay with an I, well I say Jai, but Jay Vidal signs multi-year contract with Impact Wrestling. Now, do you know this guy?
Yep.
How do you know this guy? Jay with an I.
He started training like a week after I did.
So this would be Twilight.
Yep.
Joshua. Yep. All right. Good old Twilight. Congratulations, man. He's first to sign in her 20-year history. First openly gay wrestler to sign in her 20-year history. So congratulations, Twilight. Jay with an I, Vidal. May you fix plenty of hair in your future on TNA and get your ass kicked. But good job, man, and much success on your journey. One love. Te quiero, mijo. Te quiero, mijo. super, super happy for you. Your sister Anna's happy for you. I helped him along his journey, I would like to think. He's a great kid, full of great potential. Nobody deserves it more, I'd say, right?
Yeah.
He's worked hard. He's got out there on his own, kicked doors down, moved away, starving, you know, did Vegas, took chances, worked around the world, got himself there, and it's paid off. So super, super happy for you, Joshua, or Mr. J with an I, Vidal, Jay Vidal.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. TNA, you got yourself a good one. It's a win-win for y'all. To see that there, but happy for him, super happy.
Yeah.
And there. So what else has been going on? Just got back from vacation. We're on a cruise, a week-long cruise.
Looking tanner than usual.
Looking tanner. Maybe it's the shirt. I don't know. Tanner. Had to go back to different watches because my watch got jacked. We'll tell you about that in a minute. But it was a good cruise. Took off from Fort Lauderdale on Sunday. Get to the Bahamas on Raymond. So we get to the Bahamas on Sunday, Monday, right? So I have no idea what's going on here. So we have a shore excursion, the Jeeps, like these Jeep rentals with these Jeeps got a caravan, and I didn't realize how much driving they were going to do. So when we're getting off the ship, they gather you in a group. They're like, and I could hardly understand them because it was loud and everybody was talking and he had an accent, so I wasn't quite picking up what he was saying. But I did understand. He said, hey, pee. This is the last chance to pee. But it wasn't a long chance there to pee. So it gathers up. It's like a 10-minute walk. And I see the porta potty. And Susan.
Wait. Pause. It was not a 10-minute walk. It was more like 5 steps to your right.
No. From the ship to where it was.
Oh, well, that was... Okay.
Yeah. But then when we get there, I see the porta potty. And it was like probably 5 long strides to my right. but he was already at the gate going, come on, come on. It looks like everybody was going. So I didn't want to be the guy that goes and messes up the whole line and stuff. So, like... And I felt like I had to go to the restroom. Well, damn, you know? So we get there, and we get in the Jeep, and I look around the Jeep yard, and they go, hey, you're in the Champagne Jeep. Go straight to the back, and Susan's like, the back, where's the back? I go, Champagne, the color. Like, we're Champagne, our car says Champagne, the Jeep is Champagne, the color. It's a pretty easy system. So, but I'm looking for a toilet, and there is no toilet anywhere around there. And I'm like, son of a bitch. I really got to pee, because I drink tons and tons of water. I was like, oh, we're going to be at sea all day. I better hydrate. And so I had a lot of coffee at breakfast. So we get in the Jeep, and then we start riding. and then riding, and they're like giving. I didn't realize they're gonna give us a tour on a walkie-talkie type of thing. Yeah. Oh, here's your embassy over here, and blah blah blah. We're riding all through the cities, and we start hitting potholes, and man, and I'm having to pee pretty bad by now. Like it's begun. Like, oh, I have to pee. To like, man, I gotta pee. Like, I really gotta pee. So we're like riding, and I remember like when the guy was talking. I thought he said, hey, man, you need to take that pee because it'll be like an hour and a half. But I didn't think he meant literally an hour and a half, like before we stopped again. And we're like riding along the coastline, and he's giving a tour.
We did two stops, and too.
And I'm the last Jeep from, there's one Jeep behind us left. And they must have been so aggravated because I had to pee so bad. I was hitting the brakes, like I was trying to adjust and trying to adjust my shorts. And like every pothole, there was a lot of potholes in that. So every pothole I hit, I just thought something broke inside me. I mean, by now I couldn't even sit up straight. I'm hunched over the steering wheel going, oh God, I gotta pee. I can't do it. Now, unfortunately for Anna, she was sitting in the passenger seat, and because Anna likes Jeeps and she's always like Jeeps. So the Jeep thing was more structured for her. Her mom set this up, and so her mom's in the back seat, and I'm like, man, I can't do this. I was gonna pull over. I was looking to like just pull right out of this tour and go pull in somewhere, but I didn't see him. Well, I did. I saw. When I broke finally is when I saw Burger King and all that, and I was like, oh man, I'm just gonna pull in there, and then it kind of passed really quick, and I'm looking, and all I got is this little water bottle with this little head in it, like little circle, and I'm looking at Anna thinking, man, I don't know, man. She might have to witness something ugly here. So I'm like, but I don't know if I can get it in that little water bottle driving this Jeep. Like, and plus, did I mention we're driving on the damn wrong side of the road, right? The left side of the road. Like, so it's not like here where we drive on the right side, the side you're used to. It's the left side, like over in, like it would be in England and Europe or the UK or Ireland or whatnot, the left side of the road. So, man, and then Raymond, I'm gonna tell you, I was at the point I couldn't take it anymore. I was sweating, I was beating. I was like talking to myself, going, "Ooh, some bitch, I don't know." And then I was like, "Anna, can you get your knife on you?" She goes, "No, I didn't carry a knife on the tour." She carries a knife everywhere, but she didn't carry it on the cruise.
You're not supposed to have any weapons when.
Well, I figured somehow you smuggled that knife on there because you always have a knife on you. And I had to go at this point. Like I was like, there was no way. I'm looking. And I'm not because I'm saying I'm well endowed or anything, but I was just thinking there's no way that I can get the head of my thing to get into that hole of that little water bottle and pee while driving a Jeep at the same time. And I thought, I can't pull over because like they're gonna leave us and they're gonna pull. Like, what the hell's going on? And it was so bad, Raymond, that I was like, Anna, can you cut this box? Because I don't have a knife. So her mom says, give it to me. And I don't know, she was like MacGyver or something.
I think she did it with
she pulled out some nail clippers. And I mean, she cut the head of that water bottle. I was like, oh God. Now my next problem was, all right, I got a water bottle, but I got Anna sitting right next to me and I'm driving the Jeep at the same time. So she's riding shotgun. And I'm like, oh shit, I was just like, I can't do it no more. I can't take it. It's gotta go down. It's happening. I'm like, Anna, steer. And she's like, what? I said, steer the Jeep. She's like, what? So
and I don't drive.
And she doesn't drive, and we're on the wrong side of the road. She's like, what? And she's jerking the Jeep all over with left hand over here. So I don't know what the people are thinking. The way the Jeep's jerking all over and her hands reached across me, they must think, and this is my daughter, they must think like she's giving him a hand job or something. What they think? I'm like, the Jeep's jerking all over, and I'm like, you see my shoulder like going back there, and you see Susan with her hands up here like this, like, what's going on? So the Jeep behind us must have been either hella agitated or thinking, or man, they're doing some freaky shit up there. I don't know what this is. One hell of a Jeep tour they're on. What kind of family is this thing? So like, I'm like, hey, I gotta go. I can't help it. Is this going down? But the Jeep was so small, my knees are pinned. Because you couldn't extend the seat back. These Jeeps are small. So my knees are almost to my chest anyways. So I couldn't get my shorts down to pee. I'm like, oh, no, I got to go. And Anna's like jerking the Jeep all over the place. And I'm trying to steer it with my knee because she's scaring the shit out of me. But I got to pee so bad, I don't care if we die. I'm like, I should have just pulled over. I should have said, F it. Man, I got to pee. Y'all can holler at me all you want. In reality, I should have peed that Jiffy John. And it, I don't know what was going on, but I'll get to this here. But so I'm finally like, man, that's it. You know, kind of like rappers are like, go, man, that's it. I got to leave this place. I don't care what these people think. I'm sitting here making myself nauseous with this ugly food that stinks. Never mind. Rappers are like, but I'm probably the only one who gets that. Or anybody like 50 years plus gets that. But that's it, man. I said, I got to go. I don't care. Anna's sitting ringside shotgun. And mom's in the back seat. I don't care if the bystanders are watching as we pass down the street. So I try to get my shorts out, like, to get my shit out, but like, but the Jeep is so compact that I couldn't get my shorts out. So I try to get it. And next thing you know, I go, oh my God, I'm gonna pee on Anna's hand. I don't know. And Anna's just like looking, oh man, your junk's out, dude. like, but she no-sold it. Like, she looking like, whatever. And she's still like, she's terrified trying to steer the Jeep. And I'm trying to get it. Now, she cut the head of this water bottle off. But for the life of me, I couldn't get it in there. I pissed all over myself, right? I might as well just peed my pants. Because that's the same result I got anyway. like, there's a whole water bottle, and I only filled a quarter of it up. And I think it was on me. And I still had to go. I was like, oh, my gosh. And, like, I cut it off, and I tried to roll slow, dump that pee out the window. People are behind me are probably going, what the hell is going on? And I'm like, man, I peed on myself. I, like, soaked my pants. Your mom's back there. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Like, what the fuck's going on? She's lost her mind with me. Like, what is wrong with this guy? Get this. I'm sober. I'm not even drinking or anything like this. This is like 9:30 in the morning. It's like 9:30 in the morning. I was fueled on coffee and water. So we pull in. They pull into these caves like 3 minutes after I pee on myself. They pull into a spot. I'm like, 3 minutes. I could have held it. 3 minutes. But I still had to pee so bad. We pulled in there. I was the first one out the Jeep. And I seen there was a cave entrance there. So I go running on the side of the cave, hoping to hell that cave entrance didn't exit over there. And I put out, and I must have peed for 4 minutes. Still, that's after peeing on myself, filling half a bottle. I was like, oh, like I felt like I was over there forever. I was gone a while, right? I was gone a while. I come back, and I felt like the whole Jeep caravan's looking at me. You animal. like this guy. Like, but I don't know what happened, but I had to go so bad. And I was over there, and I come back, and I'm like, and we get in a Jeep, and I tell your mom, you sit back in, I go, and I'm not crying, because my shorts are like wet. Might as well just pee my pants. And I go, I got to pee again. I had to pee again. I was like, oh, no. Okay. And they're like, oh, next stop, the beach, we're going to have like half hour there or something, right? Something like that. So we did the cave stop. 5 minutes down the road, I get to the beach, and I'm, like, dancing again. I'm like, I gotta go. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you ribbed me and put some kind of Lasix in my stuff in the morning. I don't know if you played ha-ha on me or something. You're not a river like that, right? You don't even know how to do that, right? No. Yeah, okay, cool. Well, because I was going to say, that was a good one if you did, especially on a Jeep tour. Because I did. You won. Yeah, you got me to pull my junk out in a Jeep, pee on myself, miss the whole bottle, pee on that side of the cave, and then we pull into the beach, and I'm like, I gotta go, and the guy's like, he wants to come around and survey everybody's Jeep. Meanwhile, he's like, he's checking them out while they all run to the beach, but I'm trying to hang by the Jeeps. He's like, what's going on, man? I got to pee, man. He goes, I see, man. And I said, is that the toilet over there? He goes, oh, it's under...
out of order or something.
Yeah, out of order. What do they call it? Not reconstruction. Revamp or like remodeling and stuff. He goes, oh, it's shut down for reconstruction and stuff. I'm like, I got to pee. He goes, ah, man, we're going to stop and like... to eat in another 30 minutes. I'm like, right? So I'm sitting there dancing, and I'm looking at my water bottle, because I saved it with the thing cut off the top. And there was a couple in this Jeep, and then there was that last Jeep behind us. That last Jeep went there. Well, this couple kept going back and forth taking pictures, and I'm like, I would like flip it. I don't know, man. I got in the corner of the Jeep. Well, these Jeeps are small, so I'm kind of taller than the door. I just pulled it out, and I filled that water bottle twice. I'm like, ah. And they're just looking at me like, you animal. But they didn't say anything. But I was like, man, what is going on? And so I did it, and I sit there in all my shame, trying to air my shorts out, like act like nothing happened. And your mom's like going, what did I marry? This guy's an animal. He can't even hold his pee. He hit his 50s. He needs a diaper. Like, I don't know what she's thinking, you know. She's a doctor. She should have had some kind of medical excuse for me or something. Had my back. She didn't know anything, but just look at me like disgusted. And you just laugh, going, you peed yourself. Ah. You know. But we get to we finally leave the beach. As soon as I get in the Jeep again, I had to pee. The Jeep was pee cursed. I get as soon as we go to drive to the restaurant, right? Remember I said, I gotta pee again. I don't know what's going on. I get in, I gotta pee. And your mom's like, well, I have to pee too now. Like, she got mad at me, right? Because when we got out of the restaurant, She goes, well, let you go sit down. I got to go first. You want me to go get the table? But she pulled in. I broke out of the line and left her in the line because I wasn't going up. I thought you had to go up the stairs and down the stairs. I wasn't going to do the stairs up, down to pee again. I told her, come on, come on. She got mad, just like, shun me. You just go. Like, and I ran right in the bathroom again, and it felt like I peed for 3 straight minutes. Like I felt like in a League of Their Own, Tom Hanks. When he goes in drunk into the clubhouse, he starts peeing and the girls start timing him. They're like, nice one, you know. But I was just like, oh. And man, if I didn't have to pee right when we got back to town again too. So as soon as we got in the Jeep again, and your mom wasn't happy with me because she came up to the table. You see the attitude she had. I could tell she's a little hurt that I split the line and didn't like let her go for. But I was trying to get her to come on me. I was like, we'll find somewhere to sit down. Who cares? Pee is the number one most important thing right here. I've already peed myself once today. I'm not going for it again. You know, and I got to pee myself in a restaurant waiting on a table. But she got over it. She forgave me. But as soon as we got in the Jeep again and we were going back, I had to pee again. I was like, man, what's going on? Then I had to dispose of my pee bottle in front of everybody. Like that, I had to shamelessly like hide that, stuff another bottle into the head of that bottle and act like nothing happened. But they knew. I'm sure they all knew. They all knew. I had a look of guilt and I don't think I smell like urine, but I definitely was wearing urine all over me. So, but what I come to think as later on, I kept thinking, what was wrong with me? Because I was fine once the rest of the thing. I think it was just the angle of the seat in the Jeep or something. It just,
that made you
the certain
pee.
Angle, how it was, as soon as I said it put pressure on a certain way that I had to pee. There's no other excuse for it. I mean, have you ever seen anybody pee that much that's not pregnant? I mean, I know I got a belly and I might have looked pregnant, but
No, I haven't.
I mean, you know that I had to pee if you think that I'm just going to, like, pee in front of you.
Yeah,
I had to go. There was no way around it. So, yeah, so that was my Bahamas, Raymond. That was my So I get there. So I'm good if I never see Nassau again in a Jeep. So we get back, shower, of course, go to the gym. Have a good rest of the day. That was a good rest of the day. Then we decide we're in Jamaica the next day, right? No, we're at sea all that day. And then the next stop was Jamaica, Falmouth, Jamaica. So I think there's a reason they say, hey, when you go past those gates, you're on your own. So you get out, and it's just like a little – you get off the ship, and you walk. It's a little bit easier getting off the ship here. Less of a walk, but you're like in this little courtyard area. It's like a town. And everything's a tourist trap, just like, oh, buy this, buy that. Ask for a shirt, you tell them extra, they have double XL, and you go, no, I'm an extra large. They go, okay, we'll get it, and they give you back the double XL and tell you they gave you a lot. And you don't look because you assume. So it was like that kind of thing in the controlled area. So once you walk through the gates, oh my gosh, you got everybody coming at you. Hey, I gotta feed my baby.
Check out my shop.
Yeah, my son's over here. Like, I gotta pay rent. Like, I mean, like crazy stuff. Which they're hustling. I respect the hustle game, but so
they were pushy though.
Yeah, they were like, on you buy things, and I did. I bought this necklace, and I bought you something, right? I bought your mom's. You know, I'd rather buy it from the little shops and stuff, but then. But then everybody, when you start walking, they're like, oh, I'll go this way through town, go this way. Because you're not with any tour guide groups. Everybody does tour things. Like, they'll go to we were supposed to go to the waterfalls, but we didn't go because we didn't think we'd have enough time. So kind of straight away. So when you straight away, you start getting everybody going, oh, respect, man. They fist bump you like this, right? Boom, boom, boom. Well, they fist bump. Then one of them came across you, Anna, and fist bumped me so your body would hit me. And hey, damn, if they didn't steal my watch, Raymond, right off my wrist. Boom, my Fitbit. They got effed over because that was a raggedy-ass Fitbit. It was on its last leg. Hopefully, they can't pull up, like, photos off your phone on there because they're going to get, like, more than just pee pics.
No, they can't get your stuff.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, they were able to get it off my wrist. How do you know they can't get anything else out of there?
But you don't really know if that's what happened. You're assuming.
Then Darren, it was gone.
You're assuming.
Okay, all right. So I didn't physically see somebody with their little grubby paws on my watch, no. But I felt the boom, 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 and then I looked down and my watch was gone.
The boom, boom, boom.
But boom, boom, a fist bump across your body, and your body hit me, so they used your body like a shield. They were good. I'm saying my shit got stolen. That's the story I'm saying to them. They stole my shit, and when I was leaving, the guy says, how was your walk, my man? I said, not good. They stole my watch. Oh, they got you, huh? Oh. So he didn't deny it. Like, he wasn't the guy, but it was probably his guy he knew or his guy he knew. They all know each other.
Yeah.
So I was like, on that note, I was like, keep Jamaica. Now, I like Usain Bolt. They're going to love me some Bob Marley, but they can keep Falmouth, Jamaica. I'm not going back there. So I'm losing hope here. So we're going next stop's Haiti. And then we get the Labadee. And it is another controlled environment. It's a stop. But it was absolutely gorgeous. It was beautiful. Susan, she was in charge. I was in charge of the Jeep tours, that thing, sort of. She still set it up, but whatever. But this one, she was totally, it was all on your mom. But she got the cabana thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I felt like I was I don't want to say Donald Trump, get canceled. I felt rich. Just put it that way. I was wondering what all the poor people doing in the world today as I sat there in this beautiful cabana.
Sunbathing.
With towels coming and endless drinks coming, sunbathing, swimming in this gorgeous water and in this beautiful environment and very nice people. And I'm not trying to steal your watch. or anything else, or take your money. They didn't care. Like they get more money out of you when they're not trying to take your money. I gave them more money. So that was beautiful. So the last stop in Labadee, Haiti, was good. Got to talk to Lakai about that. He said to tell him that everything's free on Lakai. That's what he told me to tell him.
Everything's free on
Lakai. He said, tell him Lakai, give me stuff because you know Lakai. I don't think they. I don't know if the rest of Haiti recognizes Labadee because it's the port. It looks like Royal Caribbean just cut off a piece of the corner of the island and made it their own little island. It made it like the super safe zone because your card from the ship works for food and drinks and stuff like that. So it was a very controlled atmosphere, but it was very beautiful, very relaxing, great weather, and it was a tremendous day. And yes, I did. I think I got a tan, right? A little bit tanner that day from there.
You're always a tanpire.
Tanpire for sure, 24/7. You enjoyed the raft. You're out there rafting, and you had a good time. You don't get to get in the water much and float around, but your mom had to pull you in because you have epilepsy. She's like, you can't leave her out there with epilepsy. If she has a seizure, she'll drown. I go, I left her on the beach. She goes, no. She marched down there like, Anna. Is that what she did?
Pretty much, yeah.
She didn't do it in a nice way?
No, she did it in a nice way, but...
And what's with her going all like Hindu out there? Like she just took her clothes off in front of everybody. Like, what is she like? When does this come out of her?
Oh, she's got to change.
There was a whole bathroom across the street. And there's like 20 towels there you could wrap around you.
It's your wife.
You did the same thing too, I noticed.
No, I didn't.
No, you went to the bathroom.
I went to the bathroom.
You went to the bathroom. She just took her top off. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, when did that ever? I never noticed that in that wild side of her.
I mean.
Well, I hope you. Crazy. She's out there. I'm like, Susan. She goes, what? Like, yelled at me, like, what? I'm like, put your shit on. Like, there's people everywhere, families, everything. You know, just because you're in the cabana, it doesn't have doors and sides. And, like, just has a ceiling fan and fancy couches. Yeah. Nice towels. Lots of towels to wrap around.
Lots of towels.
I think the towel fell is what happened, and she was like, the hell with it. I'm not picking it up. I think
like
that's what
happened.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I don't think she just blatantly wanted to flash everybody.
I probably would have done the same.
I put her to work a long time ago.
What?
Yeah, I didn't show them titties. We got to pay the bills. She's going to kill me because she's the only person who listens to this podcast. She's going to hear this thing.
She'd make good money.
She didn't get none that day. I had to pay.
No, well.
Yes, she would. She would do fine. But I wouldn't do that to her. Would you do that to your mom?
If she wanted to.
Oh, my goodness.
If it was
That's
her
illegal.
If
like,
it was her choice.
This isn't like Las Vegas, so you can't run like a
If it was her choice and that's
best
what...
Best little whorehouse in Texas, so what are you talking about?
If it was her choice and that's what she wanted to do as a alternate career path...
You wouldn't try to talk her out of it?
I would tell her how I feel about it, but
Which
I...
Which
is? That I... It's not for me, but if you want to go ahead.
I'm going to make sure and see what family I'm married into here. I'm starting to get a little worried. I'm learning things on this trip when you're stuck at sea for 5 days and 6 nights. You start learning things when you can't run nowhere. You start, next thing you know, they're like into like nudisms or whatever it's called and whatever. No, she dropped her tab by accident, I think. So hopefully she's not too mad about us putting that out there. But love you, Susan. But that was a trip, and then we were back at sea all the next day. Great gym on there, Raymond. Good gym. I think actually I gained a little weight, but I think I put size on training there because it was a really good gym. So you get a lot of sleep and you work out. That's about what you do. Sleep. I got the drink package, but I never drank barely. I just except for in Labadee in Haiti, I drank that day. But I had like 2 glasses of wine at dinner or something, or a glass and a half or something like that. And that was about it. So it didn't add up to that $77 a day I paid for.
Well, you had the Di Sorona too.
Well, they rotated like two. There's 2 drinks a day. Yeah, but it was a really good trip, so that was that. And it was good vacation time, Raymond. I don't know why you didn't come along. Were you not invited?
Nope.
No, Susan, your mom didn't invite him. See, I bet she would have dropped her towel. Raymond would have been there.
Yeah, true.
All right, so enough about us. And that was, and I wrestled two shows right before we left. So we did, I wrestled the breakout. I wrestled James Tapia. It was a good show. And then Sunday I did the Miami Brewing Company down in Homestead. Mm-hmm. I wrestled Alex Chamberlain and Damian Fenrir along with Matody.
How'd that go?
Oh, it's good. Good. I think we got the win. I think I think we beat Damian. Got the pin on Damian. But nice. It was a good tag match and then went straight on the cruise the very next morning. So it was a good week there. Good 8-9 days. So now that we're talking about wrestling, what's up, Raymond?
Random question.
Uh-oh. About wrestling. Susan? Or?
Oh, no.
Susan's going to get mad. Peeing in a bottle? How to pee in a bottle? Don't ask me because I can't do that good either.
You know, the Jericho Cruise. You ever thought about going on one of those?
I don't know.
Wait, I'm not informed of this.
Jericho Cruise. He does a wrestling music cruise. Or just a wrestling or music podcast, a little bit of everything. I think there's one February 2nd, I think there's one coming up.
Like runs the cruise?
Yeah, it goes out of Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, he kind of organizes it, books it with wrestlers and things. No, if I thought about it, I thought it'd be cool, but I don't, I've not been invited, so no. Yes and no. Would I do it? Probably. I don't know, though. Wrestling ring and that way ship moves. Like if it's rough weather, that could be weird. That could be a little different, but they do podcasts there. They do all that. It looks like it's a good time. I think the only negative I would see on that, besides maybe if the weather was rough and you're trying to work in the ring, would be you're on a cruise ship. And what I've learned on this cruise ship is you can't get off this cruise ship. You're out in the middle of nowhere in the sea. Like we passed Cuba, different things. It was like you're way out there. And I think his only goes to the Bahamas and back, but you're still out at open sea. So if you're not going to be able, unless you hide in your room, get away from the fans. But that's what that whole thing's about. So you got to be, you're going to have to know that you're probably on point 24/7 for meet and greet. You know what I mean? Because like fans are paying to be on there and you're with fans. So that might be the only downside, or it could be a great side if you really. I appreciate fans, but I also appreciate a quiet room. So I think that I can handle that balance. I just go in my room. As long as I wasn't sharing a room with nobody. You definitely need your own room on a cruise ship. I don't think you can share it with another wrestler and all the drinking and stuff that probably goes on those. But they look like fun. I think the Boca Raton Championship Wrestling is going on that cruise ship. I think they got a crew of people going. They're into that. They're a big thing. I think they're going to structure a lot of their show around that. They have a show January, the end of January, right before the cruise. So I was on that, but I'm off now. I'm on the March show. But I would consider it. I haven't been invited or have any contacts for it, but I wouldn't be against it. It'd be fun. But what do we cover in wrestling? So we cover Jay with an I, Vidal, first openly 20 years in TNA's history signed openly gay wrestler. Cool. Congratulations. I love Twilight. Or Jay with an I. Like, so I'm happy for him. Jericho Cruz, what else is going on, Raymond?
I was just going to say, I saw you watching, what was it, Raw this morning?
Yeah, well, that's all I caught because like, I got to keep up on my Usos.
Your Usos?
My Sami Zayn. Now I'm an El Generico guy. Because
El Generico.
But the drama's building, so I guess they had the War Games, and then I didn't see it, but I saw clips from it where Sammy stopped Kevin Owens, stopped the referee from counting three on Roman, and then sacrificed himself for a super kick or whatever, and he buried his hatchet with a Jey Uso, I think it is, where he got the win and everything, and then now they're like, they hugged on Raw, and Jay's like, yeah, everything's aside, it's all Uso Nation from there, they're all together, whatever, they're family, and Sammy's so happy, but then Kevin Owens comes out, and you can see where it's going. Kevin Owens comes out, and he tells Sammy, I don't care if I don't tag with you, I don't ride with you anymore. I'm completely over you in the whole situation, but he wants to settle up with Jay in the main event. And then you can see what's going, so it looks like where it's going is Jay lost. Well, I think there's Jay Uso. He lost. The other Kishi's other son with the blonde hair got kicked off the apron. The other Uso got kicked, but Sammy didn't do anything. Like, Sammy didn't do anything to stop Kevin Owens from pinning him. Like, Sammy, I didn't see get kicked or hit or anything, I don't think. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But he's sitting there, and then Jay got pinned. Now, I think Jay's going to have another chip on his shoulder because he's going to say that Sammy didn't stop Kevin Owens because he took four super kicks, or three super kicks from Jay Uso, right? Kevin did. But he got stunnered, but nobody broke the stunner up. And I think Sammy was the only one that didn't get hit off the apron by Kevin Owens or something. I could be wrong, but that's what it looked like. So it looks like they're going to build that drama up. They just open him in. Jay finally opened up to him, but then now there's going to be that little dissension there because he doesn't feel like he broke up that
little
pin.
Heat.
Well, a little distrust. Wondering why didn't you break that up? The Enforcer, Sammy Owens, Kishi's other son got knocked off. The other Uso got knocked off. But Sammy was just like right there. He could have came in and broke it up and sacrificed himself or stopped the count, much like he did for Roman, but he didn't. So the drama continues. Now Kevin Owens is in the middle of it all.
It's like a normal
Sammy's old friend because they rode together for 20 years, came up together, blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to ask, who do you think Sammy owes more loyalty to in a real life perspective?
Himself. like himself in real life, right? Like himself put the work in. He's took the bumps. He's done the stupid matches. He was caught in a mousetrap on a fucking WrestleMania. all kinds of stuff. Himself, 100%. El Generico, maybe. Okay. Maybe he was at the El Generico.
Yeah, he was a gringo under him. Well, he is a gringo, and then he was under
a ginger,
mask.
Yeah, super rad.
Under a mask for the longest time.
That's your guy, though.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. I'm entertained by it. So, but that's what I fast forwarded through Raw to get to that. You saw me, fast forward through the girls. I mean, I watched.
You saw some of the girls.
Some of it.
Something with Bayley and.
Yeah, some of it. They were fighting through the arena, and then. But I mean, I'm just more interested in that line. I mean, a lot of people wonder, is it too much comedy for Roman Reigns and stuff? But I think it's a nice balance because if he's super serious, like. He's beat everybody. Where are you going to go with him? So I think it takes a little pressure off. And it's a little, you know, a little bit of a side story to help chill things, you know. Because, like, he's been beating everybody. And you start wondering what's next for the Usos or Roman Reigns, you know. So a little comedy for a little relief, comic relief a little bit here and there. Help Sammy get over. And now it's brought Kevin Owens back into, like, a program. So back into the picture and stuff. So I think it's going to work out. It's fun. It's got my attention. The other match I watched was the...
No, go ahead.
The Rhea Ripley and then the carryover of Dominic. That was interesting. She got the pin. So they're keeping her strong, pushing on. They got the... those stories. So those are the two ones. I mean, Becky the Man with Bayley. I mean, I don't know. I don't think she needs to go to the crowd and be so into the crowd. She doesn't need to do that. They're already into her, but I think she's a little bit over the top with that. But I don't know. I enjoyed Raw. I did fast forward a lot, but I did enjoy it.
So it's safe to say that you have, like, your stories that you keep up with, but you're not necessarily everything.
Well, WWE's great about that. You can miss... And Austin Theory, I don't know when he got in this match with Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley, but I guess that was at Survivor Series or Thanksgiving or whatever, the pay-per-view 2 days ago. But he's back, whatever champion he is. What champions is that?
U.S. No.
So they did the whole thing where he had the failed Money in the Bank cash in.
Austin Theory,
Where he did the failed Money in the Bank cash in when it was an open challenge. And he did that, and he got beat, he lost it. But then they played on it well, coming back, who's the kid now? So... they're coming up and they found a way to utilize all that and I think that's cool too. I like it. I mean, a lot of people might not, but I guess I'm a little bit partial because I've wrestled Austin. I've seen him come up through Atlanta and old school championship wrestling shows with Joe and Mary Sue over in Charleston, South Carolina. Yeah, I think he was trained by A.R. Fox, who just recently had like an AEW dark match not too long ago. He's a very super talented guy. Trains a lot of guys out of the Atlanta area. And Curtis Hughes, too, over there. But I'm not sure. Thought Austin Theory came out of A.R. Fox's school. I believe so. No. But so I'm happy for him. So it's good to see somebody come up through the things that you know come up. And so you're proud. Just like when you actually have a hand in training somebody. And you have a fellow classmate or somebody that started 2 days before or 2 days after you or whatever. You both were there that same day that I gave him the name Twilight. I yelled at him. You know? Yeah. Like, so, yep. You know, Jay Vidal, right?
Yeah.
His first day at wrestling school, I wasn't part of CCW then. I was still living in California. I was just in town visiting. And I came by to train, and it was in a real sketchy area, like super sketchy area. And they were in this like lowrider car, sitting in the cut in the dark. Him and his partner, like that was coming to join the school together.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, so I was walking. And I come around, and I see the two dudes in the shadow sitting down in the car. So automatically, I grew up. I just went on the mode where I grew up. I went on the offense, and I'm walking by him, and I see him out. Come on, I turn. So what the fuck are you looking at? And they like boom, and I got down in the car. So I scared him. So about an hour and a half later, he walked into the school. Finally, he said he sat out there for like an hour or something, going, Gangrel just told us to F off, right? Like, sitting down there scared. And then when he comes in, he goes something. He said something like, what are you, a Twilight looking mother? Because he looked like the young wolves off the Twilight series. The young wolves when they're cliff diving, they only wore shorts. That's what he looked like when he's young, you know? So that's where the name Twilight came from. So I've terrorized that poor guy from the day he walked into a parking lot of a wrestling school. So I am super happy for him and proud of him, just much like I know you are. And much like somebody like Austin Theory coming up being, did a wrestling, but not, I don't have that kind of hand in his career or anything like that, but just watching him come up, sharing a ring with him and stuff like that. So yeah, you want him to do good. You know, you don't want any ill will or anything like that towards somebody, you know. And you hear people say, oh, they're not ready, the promos or this or that. But, you know, baptism by fire, you know. We've seen already, but we got in there and worked the program. Well, with Rikishi. Rikishi groomed him up, got him through it. Rikishi did the same thing with the smoking guns. They weren't ready for that, but they, like, baptism by fire. You're going to work the Samoans. You're on TV. Boom, 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 you know. And then it's either do or die, sink or swim, you know. And I think he's going to swim, just like much like smoking guns did. Now, look, you still got Billy Gunn still actively today with his sons in wrestling and AEW and stuff like that. And so, you know, so I think it's going to all work out in the long run. So, do we have anything from Pandora's Box or anything, Raymond?
So, are there any storylines that you would actually like to see, like, in WWE now? Like, something that, like, maybe one of your favorite storylines that you were a part of?
I want to see Edge versus Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I want to see Edge beat Undertaker at WrestleMania.
No.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Why not? That's a fair request. I think it is.
Whatever storylines. I'm following Judgment Day, but, like, it's okay. You know, I don't know where it's going. Kind of watching that out the corner of my eye. But, I mean, right now I'm caught up in the whole Uso thing. So it changes, you know. Right now those are the ones that I'm
fair
that
enough.
I'm watching,
okay.
You know, those are the ones I'm watching. But I haven't watched enough of it. There might be some other stuff going on that I'm missing on SmackDown and Raw. Because I don't see the SmackDown show, the Raw show's on when I come in from training class, so gotcha. I get in, so I'll see the last, like, half hour of Raw or whatever it is till 11 o'clock when I get in, you know, so.
Do they still have the two belts?
No, I think they unified it.
Oh, thank God. They did it?
Am I wrong?
I hate the two belts.
That's still two belts.
And, like, the two tag team champions and stuff.
But aren't they all unified or no?
By name, yeah.
Yeah, they're unified. He just carries them all out, though. Like, yeah.
Any other from Pandora?
No, that was, you got to do Pandora's Box.
Oh, well.
Oh, you don't have the box? How are you doing the box without the box?
I got the questions, but I don't have the. I didn't write them out. But I was gonna cut that in where you talk about the importance of storylines in wrestling. Like, for example, you tuning in just to see this the Sami Zayn thing, the storytelling in wrestling, because you often talk about how, like, AEW is kind of all over the place, but you're following, like, stories in wrestling. How important they are.
Raymond, you asking me about stories and wrestling, but
why
don't you go ask your mom? I bet she watches the General Hospital or Days of Our Lives and has the World Tours. How important are those stories?
Chicago
Very
Med.
Important.
Chicago Med.
Like, all right, so for instance, you got SVU, and you got Organized Crime SVU. That's not SVU, but it's Organized Crime.
Organized Crime.
Right, but they're the same. Stabler from SVU goes on there. Now, Organized Crime, I'm going to keep watching because they leave you hanging. They want you to come back and watch something. So storylines in wrestling is no different than a soap opera or a dramatic series. You got to leave people with a cliffhanger. They want to come back. They want to continue to see how it's coming. Where AEW maybe is just like, it seems more match and wrestling driven. And, like, it's hard to follow because For me, it's hard to follow. Like, WWE, I could follow. They know how to put a video package together like no other. Like, I can miss WWE for 3 months, turn on a pay-per-view, and be all caught up with their video packages because they just know how to tell a story and they know how to tie it all together. Yeah. Where AEW, like, they'll push a guy and he'll get all these wins and he disappears, or there'll be another guy comes in and he loses. But it's hard to keep track of stories, you know. Like, WWE, it's just much easier. So I feel it's very important to be able to tell a story. As I was sitting in class yesterday taking notes, as I had those the younger guys trying to move into the advanced since they're doing things, and you know, they were all like, from a scale 1 to 10, they were all like running 3, but as the match progressed, they dropped, the ratings actually dropped to a couple of -1 and some 1.5. Yeah. It came down to being able to tell a story or get a point across to keep somebody's attention span. We all have like so much going on in the world and our attention spans are so like short. So maybe, I mean, AEW's approach is maybe they think everybody's attention span is short, so they're just going to give you straight wrestling. You're just going to have pure good wrestling. Or WWE is going to be storytelling, long-term storytelling. But I, maybe because I'm older or whatever, I prefer storytelling to keep me engaged and to want to watch the product and keep interest in it. Where like the wrestling is very, it's important too to be good wrestling, but wrestling with a story is going to keep me engaged and tuning in more than just wrestling. Now, I'll watch just wrestling when I want to study. But if I want to forget about life and be entertained, like when you go to a movie, I go to a movie, I don't want to be thinking about, man, I spent just $10 here in this movie or $30 or whatever it is when I should have paid this bill and I got to go out there and cut the grass. I'm going to the movie to forget about life for a while and be entertained. I go to wrestling and I watch wrestling. I want to forget about my life for a while and be entertained. So I want to see good wrestling with a story. I don't want to be thinking about all my other problems, you know, like where you go there and then you watch, it's just wrestling back and forth. You might be, oh, this is good wrestling, but your mind's bound to wander to the thing because you need just a little bit more to keep your mind engaged because we're so busy. Our minds are so set to keep moving and stuff like that. So I definitely need a storyline with good wrestling. You know, doesn't have to be the greatest wrestling in the world that the storyline's good, but or it could be really good wrestling with a little bit of a storyline. either, but I need that balance in there to continue because I don't want to think about my life for a while. I want to be able to think about that, watch that, and be like entertained and forget about my life for a while. And I'm sure the fans are much of the same way. They want to be able to forget about, oh, this 40-hour week job or 50-hour, I want to kick my boss in the balls, like, you know, and if this person says one more thing, I'm going to stab him in the eye with his pencil and beat him over the head with my keyboard or my computer, or, you know, or traffic, like your mom, drive this hour to work, like it completely eats him up. But, you know, Howard Stern probably saves her for that, but that's her entertainment. But yeah, you want to be able to forget about something for a while. So if you spend money there, you don't want to spend money to come and your mind slowly starts thinking about all your problems at home. You want to be engaged, entertained, and follow a story along to escape reality of life for a while, you know. So for sure. I think it's very important and structured. And I think that's why places like Memphis did so well, where, you know, there's always a story with Lawler, family, personal angles. They keep things personal. Florida always had storylines. You know, I followed, like, Barry Windham, but you lose the loser leave town match. And he came and he got cheated out of it, but he would come back as a yellow dog. Or Dusty Rhodes, the same kind of scenario, and he came back as a Midnight Rider. So there you go. You got more merch, more story to follow, and another character to cheer. The Midnight Rider, Silver Dollar, you know, they would play the song.
That's a good song.
Yeah. One more Silver Dollar, yeah. So, you know, the Yellow Dog and the Midnight Rider, those are Florida territory storylines they loved. Or Sweet Brown Sugar when he got his eye burnt with a cigar and it made it personal. And you engage when you connect with the person and the story. And, you know, he's clear cut, you know, villain and guy you want to cheer, you know. Your choice who you cheer, but like, some people are just villain. I'll give you $1 million. Austin Powers, but... yeah, I think it's very important. For me personally, my taste, I enjoy a good storyline. That answer your question, Raymond? Jesus, like, the holy smokes. What else you got in the box, Raymond, before we wrap it up? Because I got places to be and people to see. Running and gunning today, baby. Running and gunning.
So here's a question about, because you brought up.
I brought up what? Peeing in a bottle again?
No,
that's time in a bottle. That's Jim Croce. If I could save time in a bottle.
Christmas Master story. being high and drunk.
What's that?
About being high, hotboxing. You brought up Chris Masters' story last episode.
Okay.
So the question is, what's your opinion on wrestlers wrestling high or drunk in a match?
And
is
well,
acceptable?
My opinion is, no, I don't think it's acceptable. I think some people are functional like that. Some people not in this generation, and maybe it was never like acceptable, but it was done, and people could handle it. But I would be against it if it was a veteran and they knew what they're doing, and you trust them. But if I didn't know the guy, I'd probably be really uncomfortable if they were drinking or high before a show. I'm personally not gonna get drunk or get high in any kind of way before I wrestle, like out of respect to my opponent and everything else. And I think everybody should be like that. But there is people that have gone in the past that I know they're just perfectly functioning. Do that. Now, I wasn't drinking before shows. I was drinking a lot, and at one point in my life, and I was working in Deep South, and Jody Hamilton is mostly known as the Assassin. A lot of people might know him as the Assassin, Jody Hamilton. He was running it, and I came in, and I wrestled. I did TVs that afternoon, and he called me in his office, and he goes, David, is there something wrong with you? Something going on? I go, no, I'm good. He goes, something's got to be wrong. He goes, did you change anything? Are you doing anything wrong? I go, no, the only thing I did was quit drinking. He goes, you quit drinking? Like, when did you do that? I go, this week. He goes, don't quit drinking. I wasn't drinking before the matches, but I was drinking heavily, but I decided, hey, I'm drinking too much. I need to quit drinking. He goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. You're mad. Like, clearly something's wrong with you, because I don't know if that had something to do with my work that day or what, but clearly I went back to drinking, and he never complained again. I wasn't drinking before the shows, but like I tried to change such a lifestyle thing, you know.
Such a good influence.
No, but if it ain't broke, don't fix
Maybe
it,
Maybe that's
man.
How like, it's done.
But not before shows and stuff like that. But he just had a point. I guess it threw me out of my rhythm, and they were doing TVs. But he was laughing. But I don't think he was serious. He's probably serious. Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't believe you should. Some guys they function like they do, but I don't think you should do that out of respect. You know, again, I've wrestled many guys that have, and I was quite comfortable with it because I knew them and I knew their work and everything else, and I was super comfortable with it. But would I ever do it? No, absolutely not. In this generation now, I don't think it's acceptable now. I mean, back then it was a whole different animal. It was a wild, wild west when I was coming up and through the Attitude Era. It was totally different than we are now in this corporate world and different things. So no, I don't think it's acceptable now. Have I dealt with it? Yes. Have I ever done it? No. That answer your question there, Raymond? All right. Anything else before we wrap this up, Miha?
I don't think
Raymond,
so.
Nope. Last words from the gunslinging Calgary back there? This is gunslinging Calgary. What are we talking about now? I don't know, because I say Wild Wild West. Now I just want to go watch a Wild Earth movie. So I was going to sleep. Your mom comes in. She goes, what do you watch? I go, you're not going to want to watch it. She goes, is this Dances with Wolves? That's like 3 hours long. I go, yeah, you want me to turn it over to Wild Earp because Kevin Costner's on the other channel? No, just leave it. Because I did have that on earlier. I don't know. Sometimes I just like Westerns. They tend to drag out. But
she doesn't like those type of movies.
No, she does not. No. As long as it wasn't a Mel Gibson movie, I'll be all right. Because, like, you know.
But they all seem the same.
Yeah, kind of. But
no, they're not. Oh, no. Raymond, I'm going to overlook that and not throw a flag up or anything. All right. So everybody, on that note, Raymond burying himself over there. Pilgrim. That's John Wayne, right? It's Pilgrim. John Wayne. So, all right. That's episode 66. Faggot of A with Gangrel. Our guest today, Miss Ana Diaz. Everybody have a blessed day. Want some?
Get some.
Bad enough?
Take some.